My story begins on a Thursday afternoon. I was on deadline for noon Friday, and my publisher had sent me off to interview a friend of hers, an artist friend, for an article in our magazine. So I was headed into Guatemala City wearing my only work cardigan through like a very wealthy neighborhood with a very large iron gate, up a long driveway with an armed guard at the base. And as we came to a stop, like, at this point in my life, I was the kind of person who would buy a bottle of wine because I liked the label. I chose a sports team because I liked the uniform. And I had totally judged this book by the cover. I was just like there to do my duty. And I went in and I interviewed this lovely lady and I looked at her art. And there was like 2 dozen paintings there. Every single one of them was pretty much the same. It was all still life, dark background, dimly lit fruit, flowers, vegetables. And so finally I said to her, you know, which one of these is your favorite? And her whole countenance changed. And she left the room and came back with this postcard that was pretty worn. And she said, this is my favorite painting. And I looked at it and it was a brightly colored, tropical colors on a postcard. And I said, tell me more about this. And she said, oh, that is in a church in Quiché, which is in central Guatemalan highlands. And I said, tell me more about this. How did this come to be? And this is the story she told me. There was a woman who worked in her house for her, came in one day and said, I have to quit. I need to go home. And she said, why? And she said, well, a member of my family was taken at night by agents from the government, and I have to go home. My family needs me. And she said, why would anyone do something like that? And she said, well, because of the war. And she said, what war? And that is not uncommon for wealthy people in Guatemala to not have known that there was a war going on when the government controlled the media. And the waiting list to get a telephone in your home was 10 years long. She was horrified. She really cared about this woman. She didn't want to lose her. And she was worried about her family. And she was just like, how could this be that there is a war going on and I don't know about it? And she didn't know who to ask because nobody in her circle was talking about a war. So she went to her priest and she said, is it true? Is this really going on? And he said, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's happening. And she was like, well, what can I do about this? And he was like, well, they need money. And she was like, all right, I will bring them money. And so in the middle of the armed conflict, she has her driver take her up the mountains to Santa Cruz del Quiché, the heart of the war. And she delivers to the church a baggie full of cash. And she says, is there anything else I can do for you? And the priest there says, well, we've got this wall. We could use a mural. And she painted them a mural. And now I had to go see it. I was just like, okay, I have to see it for myself. And a couple of weeks later, I get on the bus. And by bus, I mean something that U.S. school children used to ride in and is now used for public transportation for the masses in Guatemala. 5.5 hours, built for small people. But I got a seat, which was awesome. And the bus dumped me out, you know, in front of the church. It's white plaster. It's in the center of a plaza. And behind it are the beautiful, like, dark green hills, you know, that the government wanted to use for coffee growing, which is why the people there had to be removed. And I go into the church, and immediately to my right, I'm, like, overwhelmed by all this smoke from the really cheap candles that they use to light in people's memories, right? There's at least 100 of them. And on the wall behind the candles are the list of peoples who are dead or have been disappeared during this conflict. And at the time I was there, people were still being found. Mass graves were still being uncovered, right? So there were fresh candles. It was very emotional. It was very emotional, and I started to feel a little overwhelmed. And then I turned to my left, and I saw the mural. And it was huge. And it was in three stages. It was the birth, death, and resurrection of a village. And these amazing colors, floor to ceiling, like, it was, I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I had never been so wrong about another person. I just thought of all of the things that we could have talked about, and I just felt ashamed for how I had judged her in that moment. And I walked back outside, contemplating like my situation, and also my situation. I needed to get back on a bus or find a place to stay, or like I wasn't really sure. And I sat down at this fountain, and now I'm about to be really wrong for the second time, like in the same day. I'm thinking about what to do next. I'm thinking about everything I should have asked this artist. And this blonde woman like walks across the plaza. And I recognized her, and I'm like, hello, hello. And she turns around, and I could tell that she also recognized me. And she starts walking towards me. And now my mind is spinning. I'm like, where do we know each other from? Like, where do I know her? Where do I know her? And then I remembered my freshman year in college. 15 years before, she had taken me to the Quaker Meeting House where undocumented people were being housed with deportation orders because they were going to be returned to the governments that were trying to kill them, and the Quakers were part of the sanctuary movement. And she was a very active person on our campus, which was very politically active in New York City. We kind of traveled in the same circles, but we really weren't friends, and at some point, she just disappeared off campus, off the radar. I graduated, tried to find a job, you know, got on with my life, blah, blah, blah. And I imagined her, you know, her life was pretty much set for her when she showed up at school. She didn't need to get a job. She didn't, you know, a lot of things were taken care of for her. I imagined she was married. She probably had this nice house, had a couple of kids. I was so invested in my imaginary story of her that by the time she got to my face, all I could think to say was, what are you doing here? I, of course, was standing on business. And she said, oh, I never left. And I have thought about these two women often since October 7th as I seek solidarity in new places. And I am reminded that it's not always, solidarity isn't always like written on your t-shirt, right? These two women had a smorgasbord of life's options in front of them, and they chose the small plate, right? They chose solidarity when they had other great options to choose from. And I'm just reminded that solidarity isn't always like written on the wall. It gets written on people's hearts. The end.